You're just missing a follow.
Hey, we have a follow.
Hi.
Oh, okay.
Hey, welcome.
So, okay, sorry.
The board should be complete. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're just missing Andreas as deputy, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. On the pod, there is also Meike and Norbert, but I don't know if they are on the phone.
We've been on the phone for 17 minutes.
Okay.
All okay. My phone. That's normal. Here we go. Let's move on. What's on the agenda?
Okay. On the agenda, we have four items for the public part, and I think that we can start. So, the first item, Osvaldo proposed an item about the interaction with the community, and in particular with the website for improve the visibility of the foundation. And I don't know if all the participants have read the proposal. So Osvaldo, if you can explain your idea, your proposal.
Osvaldo, before we go there, just to make it clear, so it seems like a reasonable idea to me. Like, I don't have anything against the idea, but our normal approach is either it's a good idea and people just do it themselves, which is fine, or it requires funding for someone else to do it. And if it requires funding, then normally we would group those together and, you know, rank them all together in the budget so that we have funding, you know, not only for Biturgia, but also for this and for that and for the other. And I just wondered whether you were going to do this yourself or whether you were hoping for funds from the Document Foundation to do it.
The second one.
Okay, right. So my suggestion would be that we have a proposal. I think your proposal is reasonable. And we turn that into something that goes into our next budget set of line items. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and then when we come to voting and trying to, you know, rank these dozen things, we'll read the proposal, and then we can save reading it now as well. But, I mean, I read it on the list.
So do you mean I have to reshape the proposal indicating the possible amount, or it's fine as is?
Yeah, I guess having a rough amount for what we think it would cost. So I don't know, just maybe other people have other views, but do you know? I just. Yeah.
Okay. If so, I need some help from a more expert guy that knows very well how this type of which are the issue involved, because it's not clear at the moment to me. What it implies. Probably it's a trivial task, but I'm not sure. Regarding the Bjorn message related to the dashboard, probably I misunderstood the role of the dashboard. I was I understood that the dashboard was an internal tool that we may use to have a global idea of all activity in which all activities related to LibreOffice by the various components of the community. But
so
I'm not sure that it's...
There were two things there. So one was some general dashboard, like for the like general state of things, which is what has been tendered and what has been worked on, or what is going to be worked on. But the other thing was for the needs of the membership committee. And that was more like focused on individual contributions, and that probably might be better to be private for the membership committee.
Okay.
I think like this would be good to be done actually incremental. So first, like we have some kind of dashboard first, and then we see like what is it about, and we can extend that like for you know non-technical volunteers, whatever you mean by that, because like for example, I think things from Futo, which are like non-technical, because it is translations, definitely will be part of that. I think some statistics on the mailing list should be part of that as well, at least for the membership committee work. So,
okay. But in general, do you agree that we advertise, for example, the number of members per county and possibly the action they have made? Because from the Bjorn message, it was not clear that this was a clear volunteer.
I think that it is something that perfectly fits the general dashboard, like the amount of contributors from this or that country. But I'm not sure, like if it was specified to these details yet or not yet.
No, we may consider it as an extension.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So can you hear me? I have some problems with my microphone.
Yes, we can.
We can hear
am
you
I
now.
Audible? Okay, so yes. Excellent. I was talking all the time, and so apparently no one helped me. So, yes, I think there's quite significant overlap between your proposal, Osvaldo, and this Paterja thing, and ideally it's just one of several front ends for that, and then it's another question whether that's internal or external. So ideally, this is just, I don't know, 2 days of extra on top of what we're probably already contracting. And to the earlier question, there should be a number of proposals that went through this budgeting and funding process. There's even a form to fill. So I'm sure that Sophia or Florian can provide you with examples of how this was done earlier, if that helps.
You mean the grant request first?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. There was some examples on the board discuss actually with the replies to grant requests.
Yes. I think the thing is the grant requests make it difficult to prioritize one thing against another. And the nice thing about budgeting holistically, you know, every quarter or every 6 months or so is that you can then judge one thing against another. Otherwise, people approve everything. And then we don't have any money.
Grant request doesn't mean they approve as they come. They just, that's a mean to have this list populated.
Okay.
That's how I understand it. It's just a way for other people than the board to actually come up with those items, and so we can have a list that emanates from the community at large, not just from those who have the ear of the board directly. But that doesn't mean they get approved on standalone. They're just a way to populate that list of wish lists.
We have approved many grant requests out of band previously, just for random reasons. So maybe they were time limited or something.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that's what you should do. I was just saying.
No.
Yeah, just to
does that help? Oh, sorry.
Just to add to the to my message there, I think. The original dashboard tender was very close to what I at least read from the message from board discuss. And well, we didn't get a 100% match, but we did get something close enough from Biturgia, which we are going for now. So even if Biturgia does not completely fulfill this requirement right now, it's probably the closest shot we have to get in the right direction here. So that's just my take on it.
Cool. Are you happy, Osvaldo? Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, definitely yes.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks for proposing it. Sounds good.
It just slipped by there, but I would welcome just a paragraph update on where we are with the Biturgia iterations.
So where are we at? Bjorn? Florian?
If you would have been in this room from the start, you would have would have heard our chat about that. Well, we got something back. I didn't find the time to read it yet. Florian didn't find the time. Norbert did read it and didn't find anything objectable. So this is roughly the state.
What I read was consistent with what we, the direction we took at the board meeting in person, which is this notion of they're doing the work on our infrastructures, initial setup of the basic stuff, the most obvious things we want, and then after that, the maintenance contract ongoing at all leisure. I mean, possibility of a maintenance contract behind that to maintain. And,
but can we pull the trigger on that then? I mean, we've already voted on it. If Norbert likes it, why don't we? So what stops us saying go?
I wondered about that. I wondered if I actually need another green light from the board if we don't find something.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, I'm not wanting a vote. I'm just saying, why don't we tell them go? Like, right now. So we actually do something.
I didn't say go because I didn't read it yet. But if Florian then I'm not blocking. If I'm too lazy to read it in time and Florian and Norbert are okay with it, go ahead.
I'd like to have a look this week and ideally get back to them this week.
Or anyone else in this
okay,
audience.
So you want to review it again yourself, Florian, and then we're going to say go, right? So it's blocking on you?
Basically beyond me giving any feedback. I didn't read it yet. I just
It's just about contracting right now to make sure there is no, you know, it's not on the substance of it. It's more on the detail of it to make sure that the contract says something that makes sense. And so it would be nice indeed to have Florian make sure that he's happy with it with regard to payment and stuff and legal leave.
Sorry,
but it should not take too long now.
Okay, great.
Have I been sent that? Because I think I was on the list of people to do contracts.
I can forward you this.
I love getting email, especially properly tagged email. That's really good.
Oh yeah, didn't get that.
Thank you.
All right, next.
Are they helping you developers?
Okay, I'm here. Sorry, I have lost the Hangout tab. Okay. Okay.
Helping you develop.
We can go to the second item, and in particular, a second item from Osvaldo is a proposal. Is about helping a new developer, and we talk about this idea in Brussels. By the way, Osvaldo can explain the idea.
I found what already existing very very helpful and useful, of course. However, I noticed by direct experience that sometimes, especially young people, is a bit frustrated and confused because, as you know, you are owning the better technology and not all other people are at the same level. So even if they appear to be trivial task, sometimes they got lost. So my recommendation is for Jan, and I don't know exactly if also in this case I have to reformulate. I will do. Essentially, it's a matter of having a page that for new buyers goes into step by step, but more precisely. I mean, but the other thing is that. If we can make available the virtual machine we are using for Express, also for those guys, so they can focus on the mode they plan to do for solving, for example, the ASIAC or for solving a bug without at the beginning be so deeply involved in the in establishing the infrastructure. I know that it's a different approach. In the sense that
please, so do you have some concrete examples of somebody who tried to help and got stuck? Because like this would be like we would need to have some concrete feedback, like from him or her, like what exactly was missing there and what exactly helped.
Okay, I can provide to you or to Jan.
To Jan Iversen.
What exactly happened?
Thank you.
What I mean is that sometimes for those young people, they are they have a feeling and they are interested to the project, to the idea. But, for example, in my case, I got two people that was interested to make a thesis on that. But at the end, they changed. They changed the thesis because they got lost. So I don't...
It would be very helpful to know, like, what exactly, where exactly they got lost and how.
On the install that is today... down to exactly three or four lines to set up an environment, if that throw them off, there's no way they can write a thesis on it. I mean, at that point, they just don't have the skill at all, the basic knowledge to do any kind of development at all, because we made a huge amount of effort to make the setup and the bootstrap very, very easy. And now with pretty much standard AutoGen tool, the installation step is down to a handful of line to type, and it works. So if that's too complicated already, there's no way you can do a patch at all.
Oh yeah, I agree. I agree with you. However, for example, the virtual machine is not, if I'm correct, is not directly linked from the Easy Act page. So if a guy starts trying to solve
there is no virtual machine. I'm not talking about virtual machine. I'm talking about the instruction to set up an environment on your own. That's down to a few lines. Virtual machine are very it's an expensive and complicated proposition to solve a problem that it's a solution without a problem, really. Because, as I say, if somebody cannot figure out and learn the few things he needs to learn to set up an environment, which today is completely trivial compared to what it used to be, then I strongly doubt that that person would ever be able to produce any useful patch, even if you give them a virtual machine with everything pre-set.
Definitely, but I'm sure that our pages are still not ideal. Like, it's always something to improve, but we need concrete examples. So, that would be really appreciated. Like, if those who have chosen another project in the end told you, like I was unable to just understand this page, and then like that's something that we can just rewrite. So that would be my take.
So I think Osvaldo, at least my concern would be that if we're creating virtual machines, Windows virtual machines are expensive, awkward, difficult to set up, have licensing issues, etc. And Linux virtual machines, well, once you've got a Linux system, it's so easy to install and set up LibreOffice anyway. And
it's down
an editor that you like.
ODE, you can set up a Windows box in literally three commands.
Yep.
I don't mean a Windows virtual machine. Linux is fine.
Okay. But I mean, if you're using Linux and you have a Linux machine yourself, then it's really easy to install LibreOffice these days. You know, there are, you know, two commands or three commands to cut and paste. And, you know.
So actually, we discussed this before, and we had a budget for this already to enable, and from the technological side, we have all this ready. We even have VNC for Linux machine to get involved. So all this is already set up from the technical point of view. We only used it on Hexis, and it was, at least in Madrid, was quite successful, for example, because I handed this over to Cisco so he could work on a faster machine. And he got started in like 2 minutes and didn't have to do a build on the Hexfest event on his WIMSY laptop. But going beyond that and doing that everywhere else, while originally proposed, is indeed a challenge on its own because, well, as Michael said, if you're not winning much by giving this virtual machine out to someone, and then at some point they need to switch over to work on their own hardware anyway. So, yeah.
And for Hackfest, there is a very good reason to do so. It's not so much to make it easier; it's to make it much faster to get started. So it's all about not wasting time during the Hackfest, doing the initial build. So there is a rationale for it that even an experienced developer benefits from having a VM ready to run. To limit downtime. It's not about making it because it's so hard to install. It's just it takes time, right? To do the first.
Is that something you teach? Do you teach development, or what's your? I'm aware you're a lecturer teaching all sorts of things. What do you actually teach? What's your?
The microphone, Osvaldo.
Oh, you're muted, Osvaldo. Sorry.
Sorry. No. I teach network architecture and operating system, but
okay.
It's not. The matter is that some people that went in touch with me since I. Several times during my classes speak about the project, are interested, so they, in principle, want to join the group. But what I mean, I understand exactly what I guess Jan was saying, but however, what I mean, if one of these guys is interested in solving a problem, he is more focused on the problem itself, not in the infrastructure to be able to submit the bug fix or the extension to the software. Well, this was exactly my point. If we can provide an easy environment where he can try to program directly and compile and see what is happening, this may help him. But it's just a conjecture. What is sure is that we had some example that wasn't able to face to afford the complete process.
Okay.
Because I explained those guys are able to program, they know the fundamentals and the theory, but may be lost because there's not a direct experience with a so large project that is using the best technology available at the moment. So,
and you want to show them from the danger of learning?
Sorry, can you say it again, please?
We want a smooth on-ramp. I don't know. But yeah, it's difficult. I think the concern is that handing out hardware to people, even if we happen to host it ourselves or pay for it on Amazon, it could be expensive, and you know, short of monitoring it. But I'm happy, whatever we can do to get people involved. If you want to do it, Osvaldo, let's just put budget line item or something against it, and let's do it and see. You need to want to set it up yourself, Osvaldo.
I completely disagree. I think it's a colossal waste of resource and time to even try, because somebody that cannot do Git clone or autogen make, there's no way he's going to do any patch. No way.
Well, there are some interesting administrative challenges there too to be aware of. If there's a Hackfest and we are all in one room, there's no issue just throwing passwords around that are valid for like 2 or 3 days. If we throw around passwords for a machine that is sitting in the cloud and can spam like a whole continent, doing this easy, like without supervising this machine all the time is a challenge on its own. But
and we turned those machines on for the weekend on demand. For the weekend in question, for 2-3 days, we got 4 or 5 machines or 6. It's a fairly tiny. But if you start to have them running for months at a time, now we're talking about a big deal anyway. But even without that, I still think that if somebody cannot be bothered to learn the very basic stuff of open source development, he's never going to be able to produce any valid patch.
So I kind of agree with you, and yet there's a part of me that also thinks that everybody has to start somewhere. And we're a big project where it's reasonable to expect maybe we could help people get started. So I've got a second opinion on this. I think we ask people to speak
somewhat of an English to be able to contribute, and we don't provide English classes. So, I mean, there is a minimum.
So the problem I have with the whole proposal, honestly, is that we're discussing it on a board call instead of it coming to the board fully formed. And I really feel that a complicated request like this should come in the form of a document telling us exactly what we are approving.
Yep, agree. This isn't
intended to be blocking or stopping things, but really, if we're going to have proposals coming here that are going to require the board to commit money and time, they've got to come with a budget estimate and fully formed as a document. They can't really come as a sentence. And so I'm very sympathetic to this proposal because I think that people have got to start somewhere. That regardless, Norbert would rather that they learn their programming with their English. My feeling is that everybody has to start somewhere, and I'm very sympathetic to helping people get started because, frankly, I would find it very difficult as well to understand this complicated environment.
Sure.
I'd like to have my hand held,
yep.
But I would like a full proposal with costs that I can say yes or no to, rather than a few lines that we work through in a board meeting.
And I think we need to prioritise it because there are a number of other good ideas here. So, for example, if you look at the developers and the skill sets they have, Visual Studio, if you look at Evans Data Corporation numbers, is pretty dominant in the market. And, being able to attract existing Windows developers to our code base to reuse it, things like it, it would be something that we want to balance against that. So, I don't know. Who knows?
But, when we are talking here about virtual machine and stuff like that, it feels to me like if we are optimizing without profiling.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather like to know from Osvaldo, what exactly these guys got stuck on. Like, what was the hard part for them? And, what exactly they tried and where they failed. That would be my thing.
Yep.
I'm pretty much with Simon on this one that we need a clear-cut proposal, but I like the proposal too because I made the same one essentially 2 years ago. But the challenges are not the technical stuff. The challenges, I think, is not the budget. The challenges is also not setting the VM up because we all have that. The challenge is really to know who's going to watch over those and hand out these keys and all that stuff, which is mostly not a board decision, actually.
Yeah. It's kind of a proposal for a virtual Hackfest, sort of. And the thing about Hackfest is that the biggest cost of Hackfest is the time of the experienced people to run them rather than the venue or the equipment.
Right.
Absolutely. Does that give you somewhere to go, Osvaldo? I mean, I'm sorry, your baby has been stalled or nearly strangled, but I think it's still there, and so coming up with a proposal is a reasonable approach if you want to persist for that with a bit of budget and a...
Osvaldo, I have a question. Did you try to build the product?
Say it again, please.
Did you try to build a product yourself?
Oh, directly, myself, no.
Well, give it a shot and see how hard it is.
Okay.
Report some bugs. I bet you'll find some.
Yeah, I will.
Like, installing PowerShell and configuring it so it actually does stuff is not quite the three lines that it's held out to be, at least in my experience. So I don't know. What can you do? Anyway.
There is a nice wiki page about it, and actually, Jan
worked
on it to make
steps.
It better. So.
Should we move on, Osvaldo? Are you happy with that topic as a...
Yeah.
Okay. Marina, do you want to move on to involving university?
Just a moment. I was reading the last... okay.
My last proposal, I guess.
Yes. No. I was reading the last part of the pad. Your notes.
Oh right, sorry.
Okay.
I'm making it up.
It's
I hope
okay,
they're
okay.
reasonably accurate. Please do
it's
check.
Okay. Okay. So the last item for Osvaldo again. It's something to involve new members and new contributors. In particular, the idea is related to the university, and he talks about an agreement or something like this with the university. So, if Osvaldo wants to add something else.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate a lot the young suggestion to provide a gift to the guy that solved 10 EVMs.
Yeah, I think that's great.
My observation in the same direction, in the sense that if we can establish some sort of visible logo or something like that, that can attract active people from universities, probably we do not catch too much members, but I guess something in towards a direction of involving young people and active enthusiasts people can happen. So The proposal, Bjorn said something in this direction. I don't know, of course, the activity has been done in the past. But my recommendation is to, I apologize for my newbie approach to the board. So in the future I will be more precise. Also in this case we can tender in the sense that to have a graphic design or something like that we can advertise on our pages, so that university that trusts us, trusts the project and wants to be involved in the community more deeply can establish with the Document Foundation. I guess it's something useful. This is my point.
See, let me try and rephrase that. Oh, sorry, I'm sorry, I should have read it more carefully. You want a badge with some artwork and branding around it for universities that are involved with LibreOffice?
A logo, for possibly, or something visible they can put, for example, in their pages.
Okay.
And as a consequence of an agreement they establish with the foundation, general template.
So you want a sort of partner program, so we would partner with universities in some way, yeah? So it's more than just a logo, it's a partner program with some commitment.
No. The logos should be the visible effect of an activity that has been made in advance, an agreement and an ongoing activity, for example, where a group of students or a group of researchers are involved in some way in one of the various aspects of the project, from the localization to development, and they support the project from the institutional point of view, I mean. So
okay.
It's something the rector has to sign from the university, and we have the legal representative from the foundation. So a sort of official act that established that this university is in collaboration with the foundation. I guess it's something that can help people, because there are some enthusiasts that are supporting the project, spend time and so on and so forth, but they are not, even inside the organization, are not visible enough. In this sense, we offer some way to reinforce the action of the activists inside the university.
Okay. So we have done something like this before in Brazil. We signed a broadly meaningless agreement with the government in Brazil. I forget how we checked it was meaningless, but it said basically nothing when you evaporated it away. But it helped someone in Brazil somewhere. I forget why or what. What content, I mean, so signing meaningless things is fine, but what content would you want in the agreement? I mean, what sort of...
I can make the proposal if you like the idea. I can provide you in the next week a proposal.
Okay.
A sort of draft that we can, a template that we can use.
I think the sticking point when we did this in Brazil was that usually in an agreement, you know, they do something, say promoting LibreOffice and actually being bothered to get around to sign the piece of paper and all that sort of thing, in return for us doing something. And the problem with us doing something traditionally has been that LibreOffice doesn't have an us that can do something very easily. So,
yeah. Right. What we can of course spotlight someone for acting encouraging them for acting in the right way, which is,
yeah,
I guess, what happened. Just spotlighting that, which is what happened in Brazil, if I remember correctly. As you might see, Jan Iversen's encouragement for people who do easy hacks is essentially the same thing. We can't just give out gifts to anyone. But we can give, for example, someone who wants to be a speaker at an event give them or at a booth to give them a T-shirt so that they look properly LibreOffice-ish or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But we can't just reward someone for doing work, obviously, as an NGO.
Either way, there's a whole load of very tedious tax and things from the money side. But I wasn't thinking so much of the money side as in handing people cash or T-shirt. I was thinking more of the, like, if we want to mentor people, so at least from my perspective, having a program where Jan would target universities that had a C++ course and could be involved with the course and mentor people and give them, you know, help them with their fourth-year projects or whatever, so that they could actually contribute to the code. So we could do that in a limited number of cases, I think, for universities where we had good contact, say, you know, like in Italy. But we'd want, obviously, you know, good developers and to put as little time into it as possible, just because, you know, there's so much that needs doing and so little paid time to do things in, you know?
Yeah, and we probably want to get this stuff self-sustaining in a way, anyway, regardless which university, because if we just done mentoring at young students who then go off to work on C++ in fancy closed source projects, that's not helpful for us either.
Yes, okay. What about trying to organize with a university something like a Google Summer of Code with external sponsor?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
So what? But yes. So who would be the external sponsors? That's the question. What would they provide?
The sponsor could be a company that someone in the advisor board or an external company that want to contribute to the project but can only offer money. And
money
you
is
can use
here. I mean, if you look at the Google Summer of Code, the problem is not so much the money, but arm twisting of our developers into being mentors. So,
yeah,
and also all the nightmare of the tax application of starting to pay people.
Okay.
Yeah. Google actually made a presentation about it.
So actually, just to give you an idea, we already had before a line item, Google LibreOffice Winter of Code. And we didn't vote it through because just this question about mentoring was unanswered. And I did bring that up, and I couldn't find an answer to this question. So if you find one, I would be very happy. But
So just to look at it, Google Summer of Code is a massive marketing success and broadly a fraud as well, because the amount of money Google put in is dwarfed by the amount of money that goes in mentoring.
Yep.
To have a successful Google Summer of Code project, you need a very skilled developer spending 25 to 50% of his time for several months. And that's a huge commitment of time and money for one student. And so in terms of scalability, I'm well up for any of these programs as long as we can afford the real mentoring to do it. Because we've seen in the past, for example, with Munich students, that Munich generously put students forward but was unwilling to fund anyone to mentor them. Which led to some pretty sad outcomes and some, not very good software being dumped on the project and then having to be mended at subsequent great expense by skilled engineers and so it went on. I mean, it's just not a good way without the people to mentor properly,
Yeah, so I guess Simon already brought up in this call the virtual hack fest thing. That might be an idea to just start with something like that, just to see if there is potential there to get something self-sustaining or something. But going into liabilities, even moral liabilities beyond that, I would be from TDF side, I would be cautious.
I thought the whole project was a 24/7, all year long virtual access. That's the whole point, isn't it?
Well, not really, because a hackfest. The thing about a hackfest is there is somebody expert there who can look over your shoulder and point at your screen and show you where you've gone wrong. And a virtual hackfest will be something where somebody does that via screen sharing, and consequently there has to be a mentor synchronously present for that to happen. And consequently, it needs to be something of limited duration so that it's actually possible for somebody to do that. If when you try and make these things go, it's obvious you can do it any time you want to, the actual outcome is nobody actually does it any time. So to kind of look at this conversation, again, I, my apologies if I get boring about this. When we're making proposals, we have to say what work we want done, who we think is going to do it, and how it's going to be paid for. And so looking at all these proposals, I'm loving them, but I haven't worked out whose time we're actually spending and what it's costing us yet. So, take Google Summer of Code, for example. Google has a team of people who they pay full-time or year to run Google Summer of Code. Google also pays thousands of dollars to the mentors, and Google also arranges to pay for people's travel, to subsidize students. So there's all this time that people are putting into it. There's all this money that's being spent, and I would love us to do that. I just want to know whose time it is we're proposing to spend and whether they agree. And if we're going to bring proposals like this, they have to come complete with a proposal that says whose time are you committing, what money is it going to cost us, and then I as a director am delighted to say absolutely yes, that willing volunteer there, this amount of money here, I am totally up for spending that. But if it doesn't come with a proposal like that, I really haven't got anything I can approve, and so we're just going to talk about it.
Okay. About the idea of a kind of Google Summer of Code, I want to try to submit a proposal for the next meeting. I have some idea, but I need to think about this.
Okay, Marina.
The next one.
So just to give you one final point on this, when I'm writing the minutes, I'm trying not to write, mm-hmm. we want to do a Google Summer of Code-like thing, because Chris is extremely, possessive about this idea of Google Summer of Code and centralizing them in Google and him getting the glory.
No, okay.
I don't know what we call it. The Winter of Code, let's call it.
Okay. Winter of Code, okay.
At least it's a different thing.
No, okay.
Here's a term for you, virtual internships.
Virtual
I'm loving it. So I have to say I have to drop out since we're past the hour. If you can hear me, apologies, but I really have to go. Take care, bye.
Bye, Thorsten. Thanks.
Right.
Okay. About the Osvaldo's proposal, I'm got lost. So.
No, this was the last one.
No. What is the
decision?
The decision about this proposal.
This has been
coming up with a draft proposal.
Okay.
I think was the thing. So it's similar to yours, Marina. I think.
Okay. Yes. The next one is my proposal. This proposal is about a format for an official event, an official marketing promotional event, like the LibreOffice roadshow in Germany, and on the proposal there is the Redmine ticket. It's 1589. And the idea is to organize an event where there are some arguments, some talking points fixed. The target, I imagine that the target could be the public administration, but we can adapt the event, the format for another one kind of target. By the way, in this kind of event, I imagine a topic specific for legal aspect, then another one related to open standard and open format, another one related to interoperability or accessibility. Then we can talk about TDF and how to contribute to the project. And then we can also talk about the software and the new feature of the particular release. And I would like to also talk about the migration protocol and training protocol. And after that, we can talk about certification and with demos. The idea is to organize a modular event where if we have only 1 hour or two, we can choose only a specific argument, specific topic. And then if we can have more time, we can structure the event as a 2 hour event or a 4 hour or a full day event. So the idea is to have a format, an official format of an event that the local community can use and readapt to their local to the local the local community and the local area.
Well, good to me. So what do you need in terms
now,
of money?
The question is, it's the same than the first topic of Osvaldo. What does this do in front of the board at this point? I mean, that's a marketing slash you know, event kind of thing should be flashed up there, and we ask for them to have a budget, and if they think it's important, that should fit. Why does it bypass all that and come to the board direct?
The idea is to have a format, a specific format.
I understood all you said. The thing is, it seems to me that not a top-down thing. That seems to be done by people concerned by doing that and not come directly to the board as if it's going to be a top-down decision anyway.
I think the Norbert's point, Marina, is can we make this concrete and can we put it in the budgeting sheet, or is it urgent that we have to start doing it now, or what's you know, how do we make this actionable so that we can decide to do it, for example?
Okay.
If we decide to do it, what does it mean, you know? So
I imagine this event where there are the local community that can use a sponsor and can have something to official to follow for organizing an event where we can promote the importance of of open standard, open format.
Yeah, I think
that, we understood that, Marina.
We understood that.
Yes, that's all good. The question is, from a board's perspective, what can we vote on now? So, in terms of how much money does it cost? Who are the people involved?
Should it have cost money?
Well, it has money on the ticket, which says 7,000 euros, but all the other stuff.
Is
but
the German one. I think it's similar. Yeah,
yeah, but in general, I think there's a lot of stuff still completely in the clouds on this one. For example, locations. Which locations are actually intended? We need that. What time frame is intended? Who's going to look after that? And who's working will be in that? And I see looking for an official to look after that. I don't think. If this is going to mean making the proposal and then expecting the board to execute it, it's not going to fly. But
see.
Okay.
See, Marina, I'm still trying to understand if this is a pack
then
give to the community so that it's easy for them to run these things, which seems like a good idea, as in, here's a cookie cutter. You know, cut one of these events out of a variable size, and here's material you can translate into your local languages, in which case it's a sort of, let's pay Italo a certain amount of money to go away and make this thing, right? And then we give it to people.
Okay.
Or is it not only do that, but also trial it, run a few in these countries, we need a budget to run three of these, one in France, one in Germany, one...
Okay.
You see what I mean? It's not terribly clear to me what we propose.
Okay, I have organized several events in Italy named LibreOffice Roadshow, so I can provide flights, also English flights. So the material is ready. I can say that it's ready. And about the cost, usually in here in Italy, we have a sponsor. So from the TDF side, we have a free event.
Oh, cool.
And,
so from what you're saying, basically, the material you're talking about, you already have it. And so it's just about running with it, with the marketing and the international local community, to tell them about that great stuff you have that they can use, then have convinced them to try to organize stuff, and then we certainly would consider funding individual requests that say, we want to take that and organize this thing there, and this is how we're going to do it. Then we can actually say, yeah, sure, why not? It's different than to have the board decide that local community will do that under that form. That's never going to work.
So it sounds really cool, Marina. So the question is, do we decide? Like, I'd love to support you in this. The idea seems good. You've got the material.
I can submit a structured proposal. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
I'm sorry. It's my first proposal. Okay.
No problem at all. And it sounds really encouraging what you've done. I'm impressed by it. I just, you know, we want to support you to do it, obviously. But how do we do that? Does that mean that we make an official web page? But the marketing people can do all this themselves, right? So we don't want to be involved with day-to-day administration and marketing.
By the way, Italo was involved in our in the Italian event, so the material is ready is in Italian and in English too. Apart from the except for the legal stuff that are Italy related stuff. By the way.
And to have a website with those things on doesn't require board approval at all. I mean, that's doers do it, right? So.
Yep.
Absolutely. So yeah. I wonder if maybe there's some confusion about the role of the board here. We're not a volunteer a pool of volunteers who are a resource to achieve outcomes. We are a set of people who have got legal responsibility for the running and funding of the foundation. So the things you bring to the board are things that need the legal approval of the board of TDS parents, if you will.
We're
not supervision. And so the thing that I want to see every time there is a meeting of the board is I want to see a fully formed proposal that says who is going to do it, what it's going to cost, and what I'm committing the Document Foundation to. And if I say that, every time I will say yes. Because I love all these things.
Okay.
We're not cash constrained. But every time there's a proposal that says someone should, you'll find me shooting it down.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it's for
the next meeting.
So I think that's a pretty good argument, but we also have a pretty big staff now.
Yeah.
We have quite a lot of employees. So while I support exactly what Simon says, I think it's reasonable to say we want TDF staff to do this. This is a priority and to manage that. So I think it's slightly more.
I disagree with the fact that we don't do that very often. Because that should emanate from the group that actually are doing the work. If they need another group to help them, if they can't get it done straight, maybe we can intervene. But the first step would be, try to go to Infra and see to get a new website, and if they refuse, then maybe you can escalate that, but I doubt that will happen. So, you know, we have an Infra, and we are ready to set up stuff, so if you need a website, that's probably not a problem and probably not something that needs a resolution from the board.
Yeah.
Just
one thing to add, since we're talking events and stuff like that. No, it's just make a proposal, and if it's fully fleshed, we will fund it. In general, that's true, but with events, I hope to see some more overview of, like, what are the events that are out there and which are the ones that we are going to play, so that we actually see, we skip those because we want to do these. If we see... I'm just saying this because I smacked the German community quite a bit for some proposals to go to fairs where we weren't exactly clear why we should go to this one and not to another one. But
I agree with you, John, but there is a difference here. I hear it being proposed the idea of event that would be organized by the community itself, by people not just attending some other people event, but organizing one. And if the community somewhere went to the trouble of finding a room, organizing stuff, finding sponsor ideally, and all that, then I'll find it very hard to turn them down. If
that's
the proposal
true,
is I'd like to attend this specialized trade show and it costs $5,000 to me sit there, then I usually tend to not like those.
Yeah, completely agree that I'm just saying this because money is not the only constraint here. For example, having this roadshow happening like during FOSDEM or during whatever, LibreOffice conference. So timing is essential too. But that's, yeah, anyway.
Okay.
Okay, is that the end of the public call, do you think?
Yes.
Perfect. Has anyone left that we don't know about? I have myself, Simon, Osvaldo, Marina, and Penny here.
The people that left.
Thorsten said he left.
Yeah.
I can't be bothered to do roll call myself unless Marina really particularly likes them. Or Florian, are you obsessed with roll calls? Should we have one?
How about
otherwise
me? Call
we didn't vote on anything, so it doesn't matter, really.
That's actually a lot more sense.
Perfect.
Right, we had no
okay, I'm going to drop this phone call, and I'm going to call into the other thing. So if you're on Google+, just stay there. Otherwise, see you in a bit. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.